Welcome back, guys. DG on KMOX 223. If you're just joining us, we spent the first hour and half-ish upstairs on our roof. It's still, it's cool looking out there. We're looking out the big giant KMOX windows, and obviously we're past totality, but it's still eclipsy enough that it looks really neat out there, which is my favorite part of it. This is the second one. I think we had one when I remember, I have memories of being in first grade, second grade, because I remember the whole, like, you're going to burn your eyeballs out, and looking at it through, like, a shoebox, which I thought, like, I got a shoebox at home. I get to save this whole shenanigans. So this would be, I guess, my third or so. And my favorite part is how weird it looks outside, as opposed to looking at the moon covering the sun. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Also, this was interesting. So we're walking to get down here. You have to walk down two flights of stairs to the elevator. And there was a lady who was hobbled and she had a cane and she was taking a really long time. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But her husband was right behind her. And he was this big guy with a big floppy bucket hat. And he was seemed to be reading his laptop. And I'm like, oh my God, like I got this slow lady and now her husband looks even slower. And then he shows me a video of the eclipse and I'm trying to be nice to the guy. And I'm like, oh wow, that's really something. And it was Wheeler.
It was me.
The entire time I didn't know that was Wheeler.
But he was wearing his floppy hat upstairs.
But like behind him, it just looked different.
Yeah.
The floppy hat was only relevant to on the roof. Once we came into the building, floppy hat went away. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is or why he's chatting me up.
I could tell you were pretending to be interested in my phone video.
No, I was pretending to know you. It was way worse than that.
I did not pick
was
that
like,
up.
Let me talk to this fan. Hold on.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, man, this guy, he is friendly.
And then we got in the elevator together. He was like, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
By the way, your video was stupid.
That was really stupid. So did you take that or someone else took
it? No, a buddy of mine sent it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep. It was neat. It just looked like an eyeball.
Have you
like
heard?
His shot, like you could see the corona of the sun around the moon, but you could just see that little dot in the middle look like an eyeball.
Have you heard from your wife?
Not yet. No, I haven't. She said, though, that it wasn't super terribly crowded where they had picked out to go. I think she had picked out a state park or something along those lines. But no, haven't heard anything back yet since then. But I'm sure she's got photos. She's a photo taker.
Mm-hmm. Let's do Stairway to Kevin.
All right. Well, let's start with, I don't want to get too too serious on this one. So let's just start with, this is kind of half serious, half not. So there are a couple of GOP members in the House decided they wanted to introduce a bill that would rename Dulles International Airport to Trump International Airport, right?
I've not heard that.
Yeah. And I don't care. I'm not talking specifically about that, but what should the rule be on this? To me, the rule on this should be you should at least be retired from politics before we're naming stuff after you.
Agreed.
You don't have to wait till you're dead. I don't want to do that because, you know, you should, if you had that office, you should be allowed to enjoy a street being named after you, a bridge, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Barack Obama Junior Highs and things like that, then fine.
But I mean, is that the standard? Like, you should be retired before we start naming things after you.
Regardless of who you are.
Yes.
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 It's not a Donald Trump thing.
No,
that's just,
George W. Bush, whatever. I mean, if you are out of the game and you're not running for office, but the reason I don't like it about, like, when this specific case is, this is a person still running for office now.
Mm-hmm.
So just be patient. Like, there's time. What's the rush to rename a base or an airport or a building or a bridge or a street? Let them finish. Isn't that the point? Like, let the person finish their legacy. We wouldn't induct a baseball player into the Hall of Fame when they have 8 years left on their contract. Because things can change. You know, I mean, good or bad, things can change. I mean, what's the need? I know why they're doing it. They're probably doing it to pander to a segment of their voting bloc that they want to use to get reelected. But, I mean, should we actually make this a rule? Should there be some kind of rule that's a rule for the Senate, the rule for the House that says no active politicians can have things. We can't be naming things for people that are still in the game.
Yeah, probably. The eclipse made me stop knowing how to tell time. So we're breaking here, right?
Nice.
Yes,
okay,
please.
So we'll break here. We'll come back. We'll do more Stairway to Kevin after this. I love California. Welcome back, guys. DGS 233. Weird show today. Started the show by telling you guys about my mom in a nursing facility because she took a fall, and we're at that stage of life now. So, you know, people who have been through that before can feel for me, and hopefully you'll have a little bit of patience and grace for me the next couple of weeks as we go through this. Then we have the eclipse. Remember that thing? And Michael Calhoun, believe it or not, is on a Southwest airplane following the path of totality. We are hoping he can join us now, you know, technology as it is. Michael, are you there?
Hey, Michael, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Tell us everything that's going on.
We're still in the air. It was incredible. It was kind of slow how it got dark, but it...
Oh, no.
Just as we were going to get the incredible part. No!
He's been swallowed by the sun.
If this were an action movie, everybody would be like, no!
The total eclipse of the Calhoun.
Oh, no. Just as we were getting to the incredible part.
I know.
Well, we are trying to talk to him while he's on a flight.
Yes.
During an eclipse.
During an eclipse.
Is he gone?
I think he
It sounded
gone,
like
gone.
It's gone. I don't hear the background noise anymore. Because you're always going to have a delay, right? Because he's...
There he is.
Hey.
There we go. Michael, you're just about to tell us how incredible it was, and you popped out. Go back. Go right ahead.
Well.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, at least he got to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, at the very worst, we can ask him tomorrow, right?
Right.
I mean, worst. I mean, it'd be better to hear him on the plane.
What if he refuses to get off the plane?
Oh.
Back to Steroid Kevin.
All right, let's change up a little bit, because obviously that was only a short point and meant to be a short point.
Also, before, I didn't correct you because there was an eclipse going on, but the last thing I asked you upstairs is about talking about the game tonight, and you started talking about the Cardinals.
Oh, I thought you meant,
I meant the national championship.
So let's just do that for a second.
Okay.
So obviously UConn is special, right? I mean, they are, you don't get this kind of back-to-back opportunity very often. I think it's been 20 years. Hmm. It was either 2007.
Was it UConn back then? Oh, we got him back?
All right, let's try
it. Okay, Michael, let's try this again.
Yeah, it got dark kind of gradually as we were up in the air here. Down below, you could see just cloud cover. It looked, you know, like snow or sand.
This really sucks because I really want to hear what he's saying.
I know.
On the edge of my seat.
I wonder why that happened. Not why we lost
him,
but why. I mean, why it looked like sand or why it looked like snow. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what that means.
Yeah.
Let's break it down. Let's see. What do you think that means? It has to be with the clouds, right?
Well, I mean, when you're flying at night, the ground doesn't look like anything.
Right.
But when you're flying in partial darkness, I guess it lights it up.
Huh.
I'm just making stuff up.
I know. Okay. I'm over here like,
if we get him,
yeah, that sounds smart.
Live radio, and he's on a plane during an eclipse, so if we get him again, we'll
just
pop him back on again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Wheels. National championship.
Yeah, so, I mean, UConn and Purdue. So you've got Purdue, who's been a while since they've been in this position.
Men.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got. You've got Zach Edey on one side, and then you've got Klingon on the other side, and they're both just giants of human beings, right?
Yes.
If you had seen them 100 years ago, you would have like, that's a giant.
It's apropos of nothing. I'm just curious. Is Edie of Japanese descent?
No, he's Canadian. I don't know if he's got like native blood in him. He obviously has like a complexion and a visage that kind of looks...
7 foot four.
Yeah, but 7 foot four. And good. He's really good. But here's the thing. NBA people don't think he's going to be good in the NBA.
What?
Yeah. They're not sure. They're not saying he won't be. So if you look at like draft projections, he's somewhere at the end of the first round, maybe second round. And it's part of like the evolution of the NBA, right? Big men need to shoot. He's not a shooter. He does everything close to the basket. And in the NBA, that's just not, it doesn't work as well. Plus, there are questions about whether he has the foot speed, the quickness to play defense.
Wow.
Right? Because of the way the game is now and the rules are designed, used to be, back in the day, you know, when you were talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, not even that long ago, like Shaq. Shaq's game back in the time that he was playing, 90s, early 2000s, does not translate to now.
Hmm.
And this guy's not Shaq,
right?
I mean, like, Shaq could run.
Mobile.
Yeah, he could run like a 6'5" guy, and he was, you know, 320 pounds. So they're different players, but you know, that in that time, the big men could park themselves close to the basket on both ends of the floor, and it was fine. You can't do that anymore. You have to be able to cover on the perimeter, because what they're going to do is take the guy you're covering and move him away from the basket. And you have to go with him at least a certain distance. Do you have the quickness to get back? It takes away some of your ability to be a rim protector, to be the guy that blocks shots and gets rebounds and things. So it's that it's fascinating to me when you look at these two guys. And Klingon, I think, is even maybe a little bit bigger than Zach Edey.
I think he's 7'2".
Yeah. I mean, like,
so a couple inches shorter.
And when you look at the two of them and where they fit in college, the college game still allows for you to be that kind of guy. And in the pros, it's just not the same thing.
Interesting.
You have to be able to shoot a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Klingon has a little bit more ability to shoot from further out than Zach Edey does. But it's an interesting question, because I think in that way, this is what we're waiting to find out about Caitlin Clark. She's amazing. She's clearly the best college basketball player in the country, because her team is not that great. But they were in the championship game because she is that great, and the rest of them do their jobs just fine, but they're not loaded like South Carolina or UConn or whatever. And what's interesting to see is, you know, these two teams are here in large part because their big men are so good. I think UConn has got more depth of talent, though, and if those two end up canceling each other out, it's a big, big edge for UConn. Because they're not that different. One's not going to push the other one around.
Yeah.
You know, so if those two cancel out, then this might become a big UConn win.
Back to the Cardinals, because we were kind of half-assing that up there as we're trying to get down here.
So
Nude Bar back in town, but not starting tonight.
At least according to the lineup that was put out a little bit ago. There was one, I just got it from MLB.com, and I'm sure it's on the Cardinals' Twitter account as well. But the lineup is out for today. It does not contain Lars Nude Bar, and that doesn't mean that he's not going to be activated. I have not seen anybody report that he's been activated yet, but we're just now at the time where people are getting to the ballpark and getting to ask some questions along those lines. So we'll find out here in the not too distant future. But again, you know, when you're adding a player like that, you're adding a guy that's going to bat in the top five or six in your order. That's going to make you better, right? And it takes away someone. Probably Alec Burleson takes him out of the lineup on a pretty regular basis, gives you a little bit better defense because Nute Barr's a natural outfielder and is a quality left fielder. And then we mentioned this too, that you get Sonny Gray coming back tomorrow as well. So you're finally starting to get close to, you don't have everybody yet, right? You don't have Tommy Edman as an example, and Riley O'Brien's on the injured list. Keenan Middleton's on the injured list. But think about it. You've played the last 10 games without five guys you planned on having, and you're 5-5.
Yeah.
You know, so again, not great. They haven't looked amazing, but it's also, it could be a lot worse when you take five guys you're counting on and they're not there for the first 10 days.
So I've been watching all the games, but I'm not a box score guy, as you know. How have the young guys been doing? Like, how's Victor Scott?
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting a lot of hits, and that's not a huge concern at the moment. He's one of those guys that, because he's so good defensively, the hitting can be a bonus, right? It can be a case where you don't necessarily need to be hitting 300, for example. But for him to really maximize what his speed can bring, he's going to have to get on base a bit more. I mean, he's only getting on base 15% of the time. That can't work.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you got to be around 320 for it to be a benefit.
How about Mason?
No, Wynn's been good. You know, he's not shown any power, but he's hitting 300. You know, his defense has been stellar. And, like, if you look at his total offensive numbers, I know you guys don't care about things like OPS or whatever. He is just a little bit below major league average offensively so far. That's totally fine for him. And he's got more in the tank. But for now, that's totally fine because he's been outstanding defensively. He's a great plus. And I think before long, based on Nute Barr coming back and the timing of everything, I didn't mention Dylan Carlson's been out. So that's actually six guys you were expecting to have that you haven't had for your first 10 days. It's going to get to a point soon. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there in the next couple of weeks where if Victor Scott's not getting on base more than this, he's going to have to go back down.
And by then, we would have who to be there?
Well, they're hoping Tommy Edman. Like, there's still no time frame on Tommy Edman yet. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, hey, he's going to go on a rehab assignment. Now, we could get that information any day because it all depends on how he progresses day by day in the recovery from, in what they're doing now to speed up the recovery from the wrist injury. So I would think the time that Tommy Edman is back is probably the time that he goes back to the minors, Victor Scott, unless he kicks it into gear. And, you know, if I go, and I don't want to get too nerdy on it, but if I were to look at things like, what should he, you know what his numbers are, right? He's batting 100, he's getting on base 15% of the time. Does the batted ball numbers, do they tell us something different about what we should be expecting? And yes, but not that much. So he's hitting .083. Based on the quality of contact, the expected batting average is .147. So
how about our big guns who struggled last year, Arenado and Goldie?
Yeah, Goldie's been really good. I mean, you know, there's not a lot. Nobody's hit. Well, he's slumped here the last few days. The one thing that's true about the entire team is nobody's hitting for power. And, you know, I mean, like Nolan Gorman hit 2 home runs yesterday. That ties him for the team lead. He and Wilson Contreras have 2 home runs. Nolan doesn't have one. Paul Goldschmidt has 1, and Nolan has 2 doubles. So really, with those 2 guys only having 4 extra base hits in 10 games, a little concerning, but it's too early to know if there's anything that's concerning about how they're hitting the ball. Like, can it be bad luck? Can it be, you faced really top-end pitching against the Dodgers, right? You faced 2 or 3 guys, 3 guys there that are ace-quality guys. And with Paul Goldschmidt, I mean, I'm looking at the early season batted ball stuff, and it's not good. Like last year, it was all good, like all red. Red is good on these charts. Blue is bad. Right now, it's all blue. But 10 games doesn't really tell us.
253 DGS. I was watching the home opener from home because I was taking care of mom. And I got so angry because, and you'll get this, St. Louis is, they kept saying baseball heaven, and yet it's like a hellscape comparable to Detroit, you know, out there in the hinterlands. And all we really need are roads and crime stopped. And I know that's like saying, all I need is to be 6'4" and handsome, but it's not that hard, especially when you're sitting on close to $1 billion. We can certainly fix the roads. Now, I understand with like the policing, it's not as simple as it sounds. Just go out and hire 300 more police officers. There aren't 300 people to hire. Then you have to pay this, you have to pay that. I get all that. But it's not like we're some terrible city. Like, well, if we only had like a municipal theater outdoors, and if we only had a symphony, and if we only had sports, or if we only had a decent climate, or if we had a river, or if we had a wine country, or you know what I mean? We have it all. We really do. We're not Denver. We're not San Diego, but we got really cool stuff here. We have 99% really nice Midwestern, cool, yes, ma'am, no, sir kinds of people. We just need to fix the city of St. Louis, get the roads fixed, get them to pick up the trash, and get them to make a show so that people stop doing foolish things downtown and chopping off legs and killing people with their cars. We just need to really, really get tough on the bad element, and we've got a great city.
Yeah, and start from down here and move out.
Move out.
Right, because business and tourism and a lot of that is based on these areas. And, you know, but the problem is we can't even get anybody to stop BSing us, right? You've got City Hall constantly saying, look, the numbers are down, but the way you're counting them is different. We just had the Department of Justice.
And it's not changing.
No, and the Department of Justice Friday put out a story, or there was a story about that, I think it was in the Post-Dispatch, that St. Louis is one of 3 cities, quote, most in need of more crime-fighting resources.
Yeah.
Well, if the DOJ sees it, because they're not just going to look at whatever numbers you're cooking up or however you want to split them up so they don't look as bad. They're going to look at the reality of the situation because they have standards about how things are reported to the FBI, right? If they have to be reported a certain way. Well, if they're saying that, then we need to get on our, you know, I mean, like, it shouldn't be that difficult to be like, yep, that's what we got to do. We need more resources towards fighting crime. I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah. And I know it's easy for us to sit in a studio.
Yeah.
With no responsibilities and no power. To say fix the roads and fix the crime, but it's not like we have a dozen big giant things to fix. This is doable. We can do this.
And you got to start somewhere.
It's like someone who's unhealthy and their triglycerides too high and their A1C is a little too high. They can fix that. Lose some weight, eat some salads, do some running, maybe get on Ozempic or something. You can fix that. We can fix this.